Welcome to this podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, exploring aspects of our life and witness at this time.
Hello and welcome back to another podcast episode from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. It's great to have you joining with us again. I'm Neil Harrison and I'm your host. This week's episode seeks to shine a light on the unfolding refugee crisis in Ukraine due to the war. At the time of recording, an estimated 4 million Ukrainian people have fled to neighbouring countries and beyond. And we can all be tempted to switch off the news because it's maybe just too much to take. And yet as Christians, we need to remain emotionally invested, as that allows the Spirit to move and energise us to respond in ways that bring hope and light into the darkness. To help us think about all this, I'm joined by two people who have been directly involved in welcoming Ukraine refugees entering Hungary. Reverend Nigel Craig is a PCI Global Mission worker who visited Hungary recently and is due to move there later this year with his wife Antonia. And Rika Gilitz, who works with Hungarian Reformed Church Aid, are both contributing their experience and insights on this episode. Towards the end, we will hear from our moderator, Reverend David Bruce, sharing a number of ways congregations can respond, including supporting the moderator's appeal for Ukraine, which was launched recently. Nigel and Rika, thank you for being willing to be part of this conversation today. To get things started, can I ask you to introduce yourselves? So Nigel, you're currently in a time of ministry transition. So introduce yourself, tell us a bit about your family, give some background of what you have been doing and how you've been led into this new chapter of service in Hungary and a bit about what your role will be there.
Neil, thanks so much for your welcome. And it's great to see Rika on the screen also today. And good morning or good afternoon or good evening to our listeners to this podcast. In December of last year, Antonia and I received a call from the Council for Global Mission to go to serve in Hungary. A little bit of background. Previously, I was minister in Belmont Presbyterian Church in East Belfast, and before that, in Rye and Newton Cunningham in County Donegal. I'd also served as a part-time chaplain in McGee. But before that, I served with the Overseas Board, as it was then, in Romania, working with ethnic Hungarians, and it was there that I met Antonia many years ago. We got married, came back here to Ireland. So we've been praying about our future, and we sense that we're being called back to Hungary to serve with the Hungarian Reformed Church. And specifically, we've been asked by the Hungarian Reformed Church to plant an English-speaking congregation in the city of Debrecen, which is in the northeast of the country, and we'll be reaching out primarily to international students.
Very exciting. We're really, really encouraged to hear that. Look forward to watching your story unfold in the months ahead. Rika, can you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what you do and how that relates to the church?
It's really a big pleasure to be together with you. Such a nice welcome. That's my 15th year in the Reformed Church to work here. The first part, I work together with the Church Aid and the other department, which help with institutions. So we have a home for disabled people or drug rehabilitations or foster parents network and elder care and that kind of things. And also the Reformed Church Aid, which is a helping aid in the field. Now, normally at the working days, I belong to the institution. So I work for the communications and events and that kind of things, which I'm organizing. But when the refugees came, they asked me to go back for a bit to help. And of course, if I was there, I didn't give just interviews. I need to do something. So it's really the part of my job, but also a part of my life. Because my parents are pastors, and from my childhood, it's so natural to help. So I think I'm born into the church, and I worked here for 15 years, but it's begun, I won't say how many years ago, but a long time ago.
That's great to hear just the breadth of areas of witness that the Hungarian Reformed Church is involved in there. So yeah, thank you for giving us that kind of background. Given how the crisis in Ukraine developed so quickly, can you share how Hungarian Reformed Church Aid was able to respond right away? And what did that response look like in the early days of the war? And maybe have you had to adapt your response over the past 7 weeks?
Yeah, I think for the church, it's so important to respond quickly. We have history in that because there was a flooding in Hungary or any other crisis when help was needed. So for us, it's so normal to respond quick because that's the most important if you are there from the very first time. So at the 24th of February, we at the first day, we already sent a truck full with donation to Ukraine because we thought in Ukraine, there's also a need and we wouldn't like to support just the refugees. We would like to support those people who are staying there or who needs more time to decide would they would like to leave or staying there. So from the very first moment, we send donations and it's still today we are sending trucks with donations. And from the first day, like for 24th of February, we are in Záhony. This is next to the border because this is the biggest place where the refugees arrived to Hungary. So we opened two places, two helping points there. So when the refugees arrives, they get food, information, baby care equipment and hygienic equipment and a place to sleep. Maybe just for some hours or one or two nights and they could continue their way anywhere where they would like to go. And also at the train station in Záhony, we are there. And I think the most important is to being there and being there as like, we are here to help you in anything what you need. So that was from the very first moment. And when we saw that most of the refugees come with train, we went to the two biggest station in Budapest, and we also have helping points there. And also we opened already three shelters or places where they can sleep and where they can stay. One of them is for families. So we saw when families could reunion because the grandparents could come a bit later and now they are together there. And also the children could go to school now. We organize that and we also organizing programs to them. And we also asked the Hungarian Reform Hospital, which called Betesda, and they was glad to help us. They came out to the train station and with doctors and nurses. So in the first time, we could help in everything which was needed. Just for example, we have a volunteer who is Ukrainian, but moved to Hungary 1.5 years ago. And he is the one who helps to the people from that moment when they step out from the train, when they arrive to the train station, kind of holding their hand till they get all of the information, the food, the drinks, clothes, anything what they needed, until the point when they could go to the airport or the place where any accommodation where they can sleep or they can stay for a short term or for a longer term. So he's together with them till the end of the help. So when they already sure about where to go, who will wait for them, and how will look like the next days. And I think this is the biggest help when someone is next to you and give you the stability that, okay, I'm here. You can ask everything. I am here for you to help you. And don't be afraid of ask anything because I would like to help you. And this is just one example, but I think all of our colleagues or volunteers working like that. I'm here to help. So from the first moment, we started to help like that. And Neil, you asked that, is it changed from the last days? And I would say yes, we are still helping like that, but we also need to focus on what will happen there. So if the refugee is staying longer and they would need more help and not just food and accommodation and school and workplaces, what else could we give to them? So now we are planning a strategy. How could we help to them for a longer term? Because we are not sure that they would like to stay here or they would like to go back or they would like to move abroad or go anywhere. But for those who would like to stay in Hungary, we need to help for longer term. So it's not just for a month or 2 months, but for longer term. And I think this is the most important thing what we need to focus on now.
Thanks, Rika. That is really very impressive and really encouraging to hear. I love that image of just giving people in need a helping hand in that kind of transition moment of where I'm sure they feel all sorts of disorientation and fear and anxiety, and having just that welcome and helping hand and that moment as they get off the train or whatever it might be, I think is really, really invaluable, a really practical witness of our faith. Nigel, yourself and Antonia visited Hungary very recently. Can you share your experience of the response efforts of the Hungarian Reformed Church Aid? And have you any stories that you can share from the refugees that you met?
Yes, Antonia and I went out a couple of weeks ago really to organise a few things ahead of our move later in the year. And one of the highlights of our trip was meeting Reka in the Nyugati's train station and the Western train station in Budapest. We'd heard about you, Reka, and we're very good friends with Reka's brother, András, who's minister in Ballyblack and Carador Presbyterian Churches, and the sister-in-law, Marion, she's assistant minister in Gilnahirk. So there's this wonderful PCI and Hungarian connection, and I even met Reka's mother in Debrecen and when we were there. So great links. We wanted to go to the Hungarian-Ukrainian border just to see what was happening with the Hungarian Reformed Church Aid and if in a small way we could assist. And we were keen to do that. But when we were in Debrecen, we were told that the situation was changing from day to day. And so we actually ended up going to the Hungarian-Romanian border and to a place called Bihor Keresztes, which anyone who travels from Budapest to Nagyvárad or Adia would be familiar with going through that train station on the border. We headed up there one evening with Hungarian Reformed Church Aid. And that particular evening, only about 13 refugees came across the border from Romania into Hungary to the police station to get their papers checked. Also, there was food and clothing and so on provided for them. But we got into conversation with some people. I remember talking to one young man about 30 years old. Surprising, actually, in that group of 13, perhaps half of them were young men in their late teens and early 20s. Now, that surprised us. We'd heard that the border was closed for young men from 18 up to men of 60 to remain in the Ukraine for military service. But we were told that some of them perhaps had dual nationality, so they had maybe two passports, and that enabled them to leave the country. So I was talking to this young man of 30 years old. I think he had come from Mariupol, probably travelling through Moldova, Romania, into Hungary, and then further westwards. He seemed quite sad and sombre. We spoke for a while. His girlfriend was with him. Her English was quite broken, but nevertheless, I think she was glad to engage in conversation and embraced me twice, almost that sense of wanting to hug somebody and feel welcomed. And certainly the Hungarians give a great welcome to the Ukrainians. Was able to share with him a little scripture gift mission booklet, Daily Strength. So he took that and I was encouraged by that. A second experience we had, I was on the train coming from Bihor Keresztes to Budapest a few days later on our way back to the airport. Our train journey was disrupted considerably. What should have been one journey took actually four journeys with three changes. But our minor inconvenience was nothing compared to what the refugees were experiencing. But on one of those train journeys, we met three South African international students who were coming from Lviv. And that's a story within a story of international students who've had to flee from places like Kyiv and Lviv. But one of the young men said to us that he was near completing his 5-year studies of medicine. He was only 2 months short of finishing that course. And of course, they had to flee from Lviv. And they were intending to go to the South African embassy in Budapest to see if they could transfer qualifications in their course to a university in Hungary. So a story of disruption, of disorientation, of not sure what the next step was. So it was an honour to meet those people. And I hope even just to bring something of the love of Christ into that situation.
Thanks, Nigel. It's a great insight to hear just some of those firsthand experiences and stories. Every individual has a story and the impact that this particular crisis has had on them. So thank you for sharing that. The moderator of PCI recently launched a Ukraine crisis appeal to raise funds to help support the aid efforts in Ukraine. And these funds will be distributed between PCI Development Partners, Tier Fund and Christian Aid, and also to our partner church, the Reformed Church in Hungary, through its relief and development wing, Hungarian Reformed Church Aid. So Rika, and in what ways is funding helpful in meeting the practical basic needs that you're witnessing? And how is that bringing hope into the lives of refugees?
I think it's really important that we could help from the very first step when they cross the border, or even before they cross the border, because we give donation them in Ukraine as well. So from the first step, we can help. And regularly, we are sending donations to Ukraine. And when they cross the border, we are there with food and clothes. And I don't know, there was one day when a mother came and she said she had don't have too much time to pack. So she came with a baby and also with nothing else. So we start to collect for a baby car and everything what was needed for them. And it was so great to see that we had it. And it's so nice when we can see that God already know it, that we will need that, and there will be someone who will need that, and we already had it. 2 days before, they were in that kind of things at that place, but then suddenly it just came, and it's so good to see them. A lot of things is needed. Of course, food is always good, but we need to give them much more than that, and we are so proud of our volunteers and translators who are always together with the families and helping them as long as they need it. But I would like to share what example, how could we help, and one small things, how big help could it be? So not only the food or anything what we can buy from donations. So for example, there was a refugee, an old man who arrived to Budapest and wanted to go to Poland. But when he arrived to Budapest, he said that he left his wife at home because his wife is disabled and couldn't move, so couldn't go out from the flat. And he said that he is on the way for quite a long time now, and is there any possibility to make a phone call to home? So of course my colleague gave his phone to him. As we see, maybe that was the very last conversation what the couple could have, because then 3 weeks passed and the wife was in Mariupol, who is really in a crisis now and surrounded by Russians. So my colleague just gave his phone, but maybe give the last chance for the man to speak with his wife. And it's just a small example, but it's so good that we can be next to those people who are in need. So also just giving a phone or giving anything could be a great help to them. And that's the way how we would like to bring stability to the people. It could be 1,000 ways. So I couldn't count it how many ways, and I couldn't tell all of the ways how we could help. But all the support are going to that place where it's needed. And it's really nice to see that. So we are thankful for all of the donations we could get.
Thanks, Rika, for just giving a little bit more, you know, texture of how they support the Presbyterians here in Ireland are giving, and how that makes an impact, a very real impact in the lives of people as they're coming across the border there from Ukraine. Nigel, what verse or passage of scripture are you feeling particularly drawn to at this time that maybe shines a light or hope in these difficult circumstances?
Recently, I've been thinking on Acts chapter 16, and it's the story of Lydia, who was a lady on the move. Now, she was moving because of business reasons from Thyatira to Philippi to pursue her trade. But God providentially was moving her from one place to another. And at the same time, he was moving Paul and his team from one place to another.
And then providentially, God brought them together on that Sabbath day outside the walls of Philippi down by the river where they gathered to pray. Paul shared the good news of Jesus Christ with Lydia and the other ladies, and we read that the Holy Spirit opened her heart to receive the message. I think it's a wonderful example of how God in his providence moves people, and we can't fully understand why terrible things happen in the world, but we do know that God in his providential care is moving people, whether that's with work or with studies or even refugees. I think very often the case is people are being moved in order that they might meet with people who know Jesus, who then share the good news of Jesus Christ with them. And then the Holy Spirit opens their hearts to receive Christ by faith. I think we're seeing examples of that happening around Europe at this time as people are being moved. So we trust in God that his hand is in all of this to bring people to his son, Jesus Christ, by the power of the Spirit.
Thanks, Nigel, for those kind of words of hope at this time as well. Rika, at the end of this episode, the moderator will be praying for the situation in Ukraine. But are there some specific things that our listeners can be praying for you and for the efforts of Hungarian Reformed Church Aid at this time?
First of all, I would like to thank you all of the support which we have from you, even if it's a donation or a prayer, because a prayer means a lot to us. And even if you are just thinking about us and care about what are we doing with the refugees, it also means a lot to us. To being honest, as I see my colleagues and our volunteers, they are tired, kind of tired because it's a long period. They didn't sleep too much and they wouldn't tell it to anyone that they are tired, but I could see that. So I think all of us need a heavenly refreshing or something like that. And of course, wisdom for the future. What should we do?
Thank you for those very tangible prayer requests, Rika, that I'm sure our listeners will take on board and be praying for some of those real needs on the ground, and specifically also, you know, for those volunteers that are just very conscious of the huge numbers that there must be of those people. And we want to keep those in our prayers at this time as well. And thanks, Nigel, for those words of hope and that reminder that we trust in a God who has a providential view of all of this. And we trust that his hand is in it all and through it all, that he will be drawing people to Christ. And I hope that in all that we've heard this morning, that we are encouraged to see how we should be deeply concerned about the suffering of the people in Ukraine, many of whom will be our brothers and sisters in Christ. I have greatly appreciated both of your insights and the firsthand experience of what is taking place there on the ground with Ukrainian refugees. And I know that our listeners will have enjoyed that too. So thank you both for your time, and be assured of our prayers for you as you continue to serve in this way. To finish this episode, I'm joined by the moderator of the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, David Bruce, to help us think about different ways we can and should respond as Christians in moments like this. David, welcome to the podcast. We've just heard of some of the great relief work being carried out by the Hungarian Reformed Church Aid, one of the partners being supported by the moderator's appeal for Ukraine. Can you tell us a little bit more about the appeal and how it seeks to bring hope into the lives of those in great need?
Okay, Neil, moderators' appeals when they're launched are all about acting together as a church, because we have the opportunity to do something as a body which we can't do when we're fragmented. Now, that's not to say congregations can't act. Of course they can, and they do great work. But when you get 540 congregations uniting around a particular cause, then you're able to do and to leverage a very, you know, some quite significant sums of money, which can really make a big difference on the ground. So it's acting together as a Presbyterian family, not apart. I suppose the biblical picture is that we're a body, and that when one part hurts, then we all hurt. And a moderator's appeal gives us a focus for that. So that's why I did it. On the ground, we took the decision that this would be a financial appeal rather than an appeal in kind. So we weren't sending containers of lorries. We were sending money. We were sending cash money. And the reasons for that were that we wanted the appeal to be flexible so that it could be used wisely and well on the ground by people who were there. Secondly, it was recognized that this was a very efficient way to give. It didn't involve, you know, trucks and so on being driving across Europe. This was a way that we could transmit money and meet a need on the ground. And thirdly, and this was, I suppose, an unintended consequence, we were able to boost the local economy by money being spent locally on the border in the various countries where the relief agencies that we support are actually working. So those three partners, the Hungarian Reformed Church Aid, very much working in the southwestern quarter of Ukraine, which is where they're strong, and we've already heard a lot about that. But we've also been working with Tearfund and Christian Aid, who have over the decades acquired very significant expertise as specialists in dealing with crises of these natures. And so we have every confidence that the work that they're doing will result in a very good use of the money that we've donated. So it's a huge privilege for us to be able to do this. It's a small thing, but really significant.
Do you perceive that there's been a good response to that so far?
Yeah, so far, as of this morning, just under £200,000 has been donated. We'll keep the appeal open for a while, and certainly if that will allow us to claim back gift aid donations on the donations that have been made, I think that that number will grow significantly. And we've already made an advance donation to each of the three partners of £60,000 just to get things started. But yeah, it's been very encouraging to see those donations coming in from God's people all over the country. It's been super.
That is encouraging. I'm sure people will be delighted to hear that as well. David, this is not the first refugee crisis in recent history. What differences have you observed about the response to the crisis here in Ukraine, and what should we be learning from this as individual Christians and as congregations?
Certainly true that refugee crises have been part of the warp and weft of European and indeed international culture over the last couple of decades. And we're beginning to see the effects of this increasingly in Ireland. We talk about the new Irish, people who have arrived on these shores from different countries. Some of them are economic migrants. Some are asylum seekers. They're fleeing persecution and worse. And it's been encouraging, I think, to see the attitude of people on both sides of the border in Ireland to those new arrivals. And as a church, many will know of the international meeting point in Belfast, which was really a frontline response to the arrival of lots of people from different countries coming into the city. And there have been lots of micro projects that have spawned from that and arisen spontaneously on the ground in congregations right across the country. In fact, in the south, you'll know, Neil, that a lot of our congregations have very significant numbers of migrants making up their memberships. In Galway, for example, I think 80% of the congregation is non-Irish or non-Indigenous Irish. And I think in Drogheda, there's maybe as many as 25, 26, maybe even 27 heart languages spoken within the membership of the church. And those folk are now beginning to find their way into membership of Kirk sessions and committees and very much part of us. And it's been a blessing to us. But this crisis, it's of a different order, perhaps because it's European and maybe therefore a little bit closer to home. Maybe we have had connections as a denomination with Ukraine through mission teams in the past. And so for many people, this is a very first-hand thing. Speaking personally, Ukraine is a country that I have visited many times in my previous role with Scripture Union. So I'm getting messages every day from folk who I know and love and care for who are describing the awfulness of their experience. So it's all very close to home for us. And maybe that does change the character of it, or at least our responses to it. I think the possibility of welcoming people here in Northern Ireland and in the Republic into our homes is something that is maybe a new dimension, and people are wanting to do this. And I quite understand the reasons for people wanting to do this. Maybe for us, we ought to be lobbying government about smoothing the application process to make it a little easier for people who are fleeing for their lives to be able to find a place of refuge and settlement among us here. The last thing I would want to say about this, however, is maybe a wee note of caution. We need to take the long view. You know, this crisis is not just about to disappear when the violence stops, and let's pray and trust that the violence will stop and this war will come to an end. But the crisis of refugees and migration takes years to settle. And that's going to be part of our story going forward from here, probably for decades, actually. And Ukraine is going to take decades to recover from this. So we need to take the long view. If folk have arrived among us, it could well be that for many of them, this is going to be a very significant part of their lives going forward. And they need to learn the language. They need to adjust to our culture. They need to settle their children in a completely new education system. They need to find ways of making this their home. That's not straightforward or easy. And a great deal of the responsibility for that is going to rest with us as we make it easy for them.
Thanks, David. That's really helpful. I think just giving that insight and that direction, I think, for us as Christians and congregations. As we draw this conversation to a close, I wonder, would you lead us in prayer for the crisis in Ukraine and encourage us as God's people across Ireland to respond in ways that bring hope and light to people in great need.
Sure. Let's pray. Lord, we recognize when we see pictures on TV of an emergency unfolding like this, that it's beyond us to understand what it feels like to be there. So we pray that you would give us that insight and enable us to respond wisely and well to the crisis as it unfolds, particularly when it involves people on the move and maybe arriving on our shores and seeking shelter and comfort and support. We pray for the moderator's appeal and for those still thinking about giving to it. We pray that that money, when it's donated and distributed, would be used really well on the ground by our partners in the Hungarian Reformed Church and also Tear Fund and Christian Aid. And thank you for them and for what they're doing. Our Lord, will you bring peace? We pray against those who would be seeking to promote war and violence and death. And we pray for those who are seeking to bring relief and comfort and peace. And we pray that we would be agents of the latter, not the former. And will you bless us in this as we seek to act in obedience to your call upon our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, David, for joining us today and bringing a helpful insight and challenge to live lovingly and faithfully in our interactions with the needs of those who are around us. PCI has two resources that might be of particular help related to this episode's theme: the Home Bible Study resource. So through the lens of the Old Testament book of Ruth, home will help you engage with the issues of migration and to think about your response. There's six studies and Bible passages that with video interviews with migrants and those who have met them, and questions to promote discussion with your congregations or small groups. Inside Out is another resource to help you explore together what it means to be a welcoming church through a series of downloadable video Bible studies. Themes covered include being an outward-facing community, loving difference, welcome on Sundays, welcoming those from other cultures and countries, as well as those with other capabilities and views, making space for others in our church life. And both resources are available to purchase via the PCI website. Please continue to keep an eye on PCI social media channels, where you can be kept up to date with what's going on across the denomination. But that's all for this episode, and we hope that you will join us next time as Pauline Kennedy will be talking about how women's ministry can go deeper together. Until then, thanks for listening.
You've been listening to a podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. Thanks for joining us.